Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna saved his foster father, Nanda Maharaj, from the fear of the demigod Varuna and released the cowherd boys from the caves of the mountain. For they were placed there by the son of Maya. Also to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who were busy working during daytime and sleeping soundly at night because of their hard labor in the day, Lord Krishna awarded promotion to the highest planet in the spiritual sky. All these acts are transcendental and certainly prove without any doubt his godhood. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Nanda Maharaj, the foster father of Lord Krishna, went to take his bath in the river Yamuna in the dead of night, mistakenly thinking that the night was already over. Thus, the demigod Varuna took him to the Varuna planet just to have a look at the personality of Godhead Lord Krishna, who appeared there to release his father. Actually, there was no arrest of Nanda Maharaj by Varuna because the inhabitants of Vrindavan were always engaged in thinking of Krishna, in constant meditation on the personality of Godhead, in a particular form of samadhi, or trance of bhakti yoga. They had no fear of the miseries of material existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that to be in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by full surrender in transcendental love frees one from the miseries inflicted by the laws of the material nature. Here it is clearly mentioned that the inhabitants of Vrindavan were extensively busy in the hard labor of their day's work. And due to the day's hard labor, they were engaged in sound sleep at night. So, practically they had very little time to devote to meditation or to the other paraphernalia of spiritual activities. But factually, they were engaged in the highest spiritual activities only. Everything done by them was spiritualized because everything was dovetailed in the relationship with Lord Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna. The central point of activities was Krishna, and as such, the so-called activities in the material world were saturated with spiritual potency. That is the advantage of the way of Bhakti Yoga. One should discharge one's duty on Lord Krishna's behalf, and all one's actions will be saturated with Krishna thought, the highest pattern of trance in spiritual realization. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivas Adigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschada Desha Tarine Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yatkripatam Hamvande Shri Guru Dina Tarinam Paramananda Madam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving this opportunity to purify myself. You're all are great souls here. Govind Prabhu, Srinivas, all senior devotees. I don't know what I'm going to speak, but maybe by your blessings, something meaningful may come out. But it will be for my own purification. So today's verse is verse number 31. And there are two pastimes mentioned in this verse. This is Lord Brahma mentioning all the scheduled incarnations of Krishna. And in the two pastimes, the one pastime is the Nanda Maharaj rescued by Lord Krishna, as chapter 28 in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's about 17 verses, a short chapter, 17 verses, but very beautiful. And there is also the other pastime mentioned here is the Maya Sunana, which is the son of Maya Danav, who is Vyomasura. And there is also every pastime also is joined with some philosophy there, that the residents of Vraj, they were performing hard work during daytime and sleeping soundly at night, and they had no time for meditation, as Prabhupada explains in the purport. So we will briefly discuss the two pastimes. His Grace Premanava Prabhu has already established the higher principles of understanding the pastime of Nanda Maharaj being rescued by Krishna. It was a very nice class on Sunday. So, but I will speak once again. That's all I have learned. I will probably speak the second pastime first. This is the Vyomasura. So Krishna and his friends would go out to herd the calves or the cows, and they would always have lots of fun in the forest of Vrindavan. And they would always play some games, varieties of games. Krishna is always playing with his friends. So this pastime, this special game that they started to play that day was a game of a police and thief. So this demon Vyoma was given a task by Kamsa to kill Krishna and Balaram. So he had this because he's son of Maya. So Maya Dana is the same Maya Dana who created the Indraprastha, the assembly hall for the Pandavas. There's another pastime of Krishna and Arjun in the forest. The Agni wanted to eat the whole fire. That's another pastime. That's that Maya Dana's son Vyomasura. He dressed up himself. Took the form of a gopa, and he also joined the game. And the game was police and thief, and some of the gopas would become lambs, and some of the gopas would be shepherds, and other gopas would be the police, like that. So what this Vyomasura did was, just becoming a thief, he one by one took all the little gopas who were acting as lambs, and he started to hide them in a cave. And then follow on, as the shepherd started to look for their lambs, this Vyomasura would again, grab those gopas who were trying to act as shepherds and put them also in the cave. So finally they all got disappeared. And now Krishna, playing the part of the police, he says to Balaram, you can stay here and I'm going to find out where everyone has gone. So he goes around to find them, but he can't find any. And he realizes something is not right there. And this Vyomasura now thinks that Krishna is another Gopa. I can also deal with him now. You know, all these Gopas are away and I can now kill Krishna. So he starts charging at Krishna. And first attempt, you know, he tries. Krishna holds him, swirls him around and puts him on the ground. Gets up again. Again starts to dash at Krishna. The second time around, he just, if I'm saying it right, he grabs Vyomasura and puts him on the floor and the demon is dead. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given some advice on how we can clear our anarthas when we read these pastimes of Krishna. So Vyomasura pastimes is associated with thieves and other rascals and people who put themselves forward as avatars. So we have to be careful of this anartha that either we can become avatar or maybe associating with the so-called associating with the thieves or rascals who claim to be avatars. So we have to be careful of them. Srila Prabhupada has given enough doses of that, so we are careful, sometimes over-careful as well. So that's the pastime of Vyomasura. And then the second pastime of Nanda Maharaj. So this is what happened. It was actually Dwadashi. So the day before was Ekadashi, but that happened to be a shortened Ekadashi. So some of the Ekadashis are smaller, and they're not 24 hours. So on that particular Dwadashi, the previous day Ekadashi happened to be 16 hours only. So there was only a small time, and that also before the Brahma Murtha for devotees to break their Ekadashi fast. So Nanda Maharaj, then conscious of that short time, he went to take bath in Yamuna, and that was way before the Brahma Murtha time, a lot before. So apparently, or as far as the Varuna's Bhagavatam explains, the demoniac servant who was quite technical, he was only looking at one side of it, saying, oh, this is too early to take bath in Yamuna, so this is a crime. So he is the he arrests Nanda Maharaj. Yeah, he does not recognize Nanda Maharaj's position as who is Nanda Maharaj. He's the father of Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he does not even recognize the intention. What was the intention? The higher intention is for devotees to follow the Parayana. The breaking of the fast was more important than the inappropriate time for bath. So Nanda Maharaj was right in what he was doing, but Varuna's servant did not realize that, and he arrested Nanda Maharaj and brought him to the court of Varuna. Actually, it is explained in different books that I was hearing and reading. Is Nanda Maharaj was when he was taking bath, he was in trance, or he wasn't meditating on the Supreme Lord, and when he was arrested, he was not. Aware of his arrest, so he was still in trance, and so he was taken to the Varuna's planet. Even then, he was still in trance. But Varuna saw his servant bringing Nanda Maharaj and arresting him, so he got frightened. So he's going to, because he knows what's going on. So he's frightened. He don't know what to do. So what he does is, he creates a nice place for sitting for Nanda Maharaj, and now he knows that Lord Krishna will be soon coming to rescue his father. And also, as in purport, we read that it was actually a pastime so that Varuna could get darshan of Lord Krishna. This is everything arranged by the Lord himself. So because Lord wanted to give his darshan to his devotee, that's how he organized or arranged this whole so-called arrest of Nanda Maharaj. So Varuna, as soon as Krishna comes in, actually before that, when Nanda Maharaj could not be seen, you know, he went to take bath in the Yamuna, but he could not be found by the other associates, and they got worried as to what happened to Nanda Maharaj. So they started to call for Balaram and Krishna. That's how the Vrajvasis would always, you know, call for Krishna or Ram, and they started to call, and they addressed in an interesting way. So they call Krishna as Swanam Abhaya Da Vibhu, which means Swanam is his own, one who is giving fearlessness to his own devotees. Yeah, that's Vibhu, that's the God. So they call for Balaram and Krishna, and Krishna realizes what's gone in there, and he asks Balaramji to take care of Mother Yashoda, because she, once she comes to know, she will be in very disturbed. And you know what happened previously in the Kaliya pastime, when Krishna jumped into Yamuna, there was such a little when he jumped in Yamuna, Yashoda Mai actually fainted. She passed out. So Krishna was asking Balaram to take care of the Mother Yashoda and all the Brajvasis, because they will be in a lot of anxiety. So that's what happened. So when they realized, and the Brajvasis and the Gopas and everyone assembled at Yamuna, they were in great anxiety. Mother Yashoda almost passed out, but Balaramji somehow consoled her that, don't worry, Krishna is going to bring Nanda Maharaj very soon. So please don't worry. So, and then Krishna enters into the Varuna's planet. So this is it is explained like this. It's in the Yamuna, there's a hole. So Nanda Maharaj went into Yamuna to take bath, but he was arrested and taken into this planet, Varuna's planet. I mean, we can't reconcile that. How can there be a planet within the Yamuna's water? But anyway, so this is the other lokas which we don't have access to. So, but the great souls can access those. So Lord Krishna, similar to what he did for rescuing the other in the other pastimes, rescue of Devaki's sons or Sandipani Muni's, his teacher's sons, and also the son of the Dwarka Brahmin from Mahavishnu. So he jumped into Yamuna and he goes to the Varuna's place, and Varuna is now waiting for Lord to come, and he's right at the door. And you know, as soon as he arrives, you know, Varuna sets a good worshipping paraphernalia. He starts to worship and starts to glorify. But what else happens? Nanda Maharaj, who was in trance so long, when Krishna arrives, Nanda Maharaj can smell the fragrance, the sweet fragrance of the Lord. So he immediately comes out of his trance and sees the Lord Krishna is here, and he's in this amazing place. It's so opulent. So Nanda Maharaj gets really impressed by the opulence of Varuna, and he's seeing Lord Krishna, his son, there, the little Krishna, and Varuna is starting to chant the glories of Krishna, is asking forgiveness, and so Nanda Maharaj gets a little bit bewildered. But you know what happens every time the situation like that happens, the yoga maya takes over, and he's immediately like, in both situations, he's seeing the Lord being worshipped by Varuna, who's a lokapala, who's, you know, is the ruler of the people, and worshipping his little son. So that my son must be someone very great. But then again, he says, my son is only little Krishna. So in that, the situation somehow, he's now rescued by Krishna. I'm just conscious of time running ahead a lot. Sorry. How? What's that? What time do we finish now? 8:30. Okay. So we know the story. So Nanda Maharaj was finally rescued. He was taken out. So the Gopas and Gopis were now happy. And so there is further pastime there. How Krishna, gives the vision, because when the Gopas realize, when Nanda Maharaj says to the Gopas, the senior Gopas and to Mother Yashoda, everyone gets bewildered. This is our Krishna, this is our wonderful Krishna being worshipped by all these demigods. He recently only picked up the large Govardhan on his little finger. He must be someone great. He must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Nanda Maharaj narrates the the pastime with Gargamuni. Gargamuni had, when Gargamuni came to name Krishna and Balaram, that time he had mentioned who Krishna is in his previous incarnations, and so he says, the Gargamuni actually says that he is Narayan-like, so because he did not want to reveal that. So Nanda Maharaj relates all those pastimes, and then he says to his friends, this looks like Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And the other gopas also start to say, yes, this seems like. But then they're thinking, well, this is our Krishna, and if he's the Supreme Personality of God, will he give us any place in his abode? So then there's the pastime that Prabhu explained on Sunday, that Krishna somehow takes them to the Brahmarida. That's the same place where Akrura got the darshan of the spiritual world. And they get darshan of the not only the Brahman effulgence, but also the Vaikuntha. And Acharya says, actually then Krishna finally, when these gopas take a dip in the lake and they rise up, the Acharyas explain that Krishna now has taken him down to the Brahma Jyoti, but uplifted them back to the Vrindavan Goloka, so to establish that Goloka is higher than Vaikuntha and even much higher than the Brahma Jyoti, which is the Brahman effulgence. And this is the pastime. The two pastimes are already half it. There's only one. Prabhu covered already the aspect of who are the greatest amongst the liberated souls. These are the Krishna's devotees who are the greatest among the liberated souls. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport about the situation of these Brajavasis. They are fearless. Why are they fearless? Prabhupada also mentions in the purport that Devi Esha Gunamai, Mama Maya Durataya, Mam Evaya Prapadyante, Maya Metam Tarantide. So all these Brajavasis, they are surrendered soul unto Krishna. They are not just surrender in the aspect of the controller, Krishna as controller, but their surrender is out of love. Because love has taken over the controllership of the Lord. So this is more about sweetness rather than the greatness of the Lord. That's the mood these Brajavasis are into when they serve Krishna. And the hard labor, apparently, the hard labor seems like that's not the same hard labor that people go to London in the underground tube and they work very hard. That's not the same hard labor. They're absorbed in Krishna's pastime. Braj dham is chinta mani prakara sadma shukalpa vriksha. So Braj is, every grain of sand is chinta mani, chinta mani jewel, which is... Chintamani, how do you explain Chintamani in English? A touchstone. And Kalpa Vriksha, again, they're wish-fulfilling trees, rikshas. So this is the place when there's no, these devotees don't need to, if that's the place, and which is no different from the Goloka, they don't need to really put any hard work. So people like us, or maybe me, thinking if they, that was my first, to be honest, first time when I heard this, Chintamani, Prakara, that means all the, there are all these wish fulfilling trees and these touchstones and all these, and we don't have to work then, isn't it? That's my thinking. If I get something like, I can stop working. But there's a paradox that these devotees are still working very hard, but they're working hard out of love, because they what do the devotees want from the Chintamani or the Kalpa Vriksha? Their only desire is to serve Krishna and to fulfill Krishna's desire, to satisfy Krishna's senses. So all their efforts was purely for that. They would herd the cows, or they would make whatever, they grow vegetables, and they do make the pots or milking or butter. Everything was dedicated to Krishna's service out of love for Krishna. So that hard labor is not the same hard labor as some of us may be doing. So I'm just conscious of time. There was a lot. I always misjudge how long it takes to give a class. So quarter two. Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought it's okay. Are we okay with that? Okay, so this fearlessness, so what is the reason for fearlessness amongst the conditioned soul? Any thoughts? Sorry, Prabhu? Forgetful of Krishna. Avidya, ignorance. So, dvitiya, so this is a beautiful conversation between Nimi Maharaj and Kavi, one of Navayogindra. And Srila Prabhupada uses this verse, you know, quotes this verse a lot. Bhayam. Yeah, dvitiya abhivneshet chat. Ishad apatesh viparyo smriti. So what he says is, the verse says, in the translation, fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as servant of the Lord. So this bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. And the intelligent person will engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service to get rid of the fear. So there's an argument in the purport there. And if the forgetfulness of the Lord is because of avidya, that is ignorance. But if I have the knowledge that this is temporary and the nature of the material world, and even if my own position as a soul, not the next level of soul's duty or soul's position, with that knowledge, the avidya is dissipated, the ignorance dissipated, then why is there a need for worshipping Krishna? Because these devotees are worshipping Krishna, but the jnani does not need to worship Krishna because already crossed over the ignorance. So what's the the answer? That says in the purport. So that's Srila Swami's question and answer in that same purport. When he says that, yes, ignorance is destroyed by knowledge, but then why worship? Because even with that knowledge, someone may attain the Brahman realization. But then what happens is, because they have not taken the shelter of the Lord, because not taken the loving shelter of the Lord, they will come down, come back to the material world. And that's why we see number of examples for Prabhupada quotes in India. There's all these Mayavadis, or they may have a lot of knowledge of scripture. They're very expert in Sanskrit and understanding of scriptures, and they have so many commentaries, which is all about the knowledge aspect, but no worship. Worship is also for the purpose of the Nirgun and Sagun, that they're all mostly in the Nirgun Bhakti, which is, you know, Krishna has no qualities. And the Brahman has no qualities. So that's their understanding. That's why they go in Brahman Jyoti, but then they lack the surrender aspect. So they have to come back because they have to do something. The soul is by definition is active. It must act. And they can't act within the Brahma Jyoti. So they have to then find some more activities. So Prabhupada explained, they come down and they start to open hospitals and this and that. And they get engaged and they get lost again. But devotees don't do that. Devotees are always engaged in the service of the Lord. So they're so engaged that they're completely ignorant, or they apparently ignorant. In the same chapter, 28th chapter of 10th canto, Krishna says something, says apparently these Brajvasis are ignorant. They're working like any other hard-working labor, but they're not the same. They're not in the same position. They are higher because they have taken shelter of the Lord. There is also another verse from Bhagavad Gita which is very nice. Vita Raga, that's the fourth chapter. Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha Man Maya Mam Upashvita Bhavo Jnana Tapasa Puta Madha Bhava Magata. So these are Jnana Tapasas. Bhavo, many of these Jnana, the knowledgeable people, all the tapasas, people who perform austerities, they, being taken shelter of the Lord, man maya mam upashrita, then what happens? They vita raga bhaya krodha, they give up the raga, the attachment, yeah, and the bhaya, the fear and the anger. So that fear can only go away taking shelter of the Lord. There is no other way. That's Krishna is explaining in many verses within Bhagavad Gita as well. So for us, I think this continues the lesson that we take shelter of the Lord, shelter of the devotees, engaged in the service of the Lord. And because there is a concept called, I don't know if some of you might have heard it, this is like unconscious competency. This concept like is, I think this one of the psychological study or some treatment. So there are four types of consciousness or competencies. There is the highest is unconscious competency. Then there is conscious competency. And there could be unconscious. Some people could be unconscious, incompetent, or incompetent, whatever the right word. Or some may be conscious, but still incompetent. So the devotees or the Brajvasis' state of mind is unconscious competency. It's like driving a car. When we are driving a car, after initially we are learning to drive a car. And that is consciously we are trying to learn a competency. So we, you know, these days there's no clutches, so it's much easier. In the old days when we were learning clutch and brake, and there's a lot of adjustment you have to make. It takes a while to get hang of driving, so it takes a while. So that's, we are all as sadhakas, we are attempting, we're trying to do that. But once these Brajavasis in the mood that they are, they don't have to remember Krishna, because they're always absorbed within Krishna. We have to put effort to remember Krishna. Or at least don't remember when we are chanting, that's the biggest challenge I've experienced. Everything that comes in mind. You know, all those things I should be doing or should not be doing, or other people should be not doing. That's what happens. But devotees are unconsciously competent. They don't have to put any effort. And they are just always aware of the Krishna's position as their sweet son or friend or lover, or in that position. These are the Brajavasis. For us sadhakas, we're trying to build that conscious competency. So, thank you very much. I don't know whether I was making any sense. Trying to cramp a lot in a short time. Please, any comments, questions, discussions? Yeah, Srinivasa. Okay, I'll try to repeat here. Yeah, four levels. Yeah, so there are two words: conscious, unconscious, competency, incompetency. So, yeah, unconsciously they're competent. They don't have to become conscious to become competent. So people, yeah, so okay, maybe I can go more. So unconscious, incompetent. Some people are like the materialistic, not aware of what's happening. They're unconscious and they are not interested either. You know, for these are the ignorant souls who will defy the existence of God. Yeah. And they are atheist. They don't believe in God. They are not conscious of their own position, and so they're going to die any moment, what their material position is. They don't understand that. And they don't want to even understand that. There are conscious incompetents who know the position, but they don't want to take shelter of the Lord. They can't. Because they have the envy for the Lord. This is the Mayavadis. Yeah, so they're conscious. It's not they understand the concept of soul, but they will not take shelter. They're the dangerous ones. And we are trying to be conscious. What did I say? Conscious? Yeah. Unconscious, competent. I get confused. But the devotees are unconscious, incompetent. We are trying to build the competencies. We are conscious and competent. Yeah, we're trying to build the competencies. We're conscious and trying to build the competency like that. I can give more details. Yeah, sorry. I don't know if that's making sense. The hanging together, going to go or not? Breaking. Yes.
Aware of Krishna. And does that apply also to material situations?
Sorry, I'll take one by one. First question is what's the difference between? I can follow the first question.
So, when you're unconsciously incompetent.
Unconsciously, yeah.
The result of not
being
aware of Krishna's.
Ignorance, yeah. Yeah, in a sense, also like that, yeah. Yeah, so for example, there are the innocent souls, if we take with that analogy. So when we go out, Bhagdrishya, Vishnu, preach others, some of them are unconscious and incompetent, they don't know. And we can give them the books or the teachings, they can take up the worship. Yeah. Yeah.
Why are we trying to go to the transcendental world? Because you said that Krishna was showing the residents of Vrindavan that they are essentially the best.
Yes.
Whereas in the spiritual sky is not as interesting.
Yes. There's no sweetness there, yeah. We must.
So can you explain?
Okay, so to understand your question is, if the residents of Vrindavan are at the highest category, so they are in love with Krishna, and they are in that sweetness, that love, they are not subject to the threefold miseries of the material world. So he says in the purport, Prabhupada explains that Nanda Maharaj was not fearful because he was in trance. He was not in fear. So these Brajvasis, they're working in the material world, or the devotees, pure devotees, their working is different to our working. So to understand your question, why should we aspire to become one of them? Yes.
They were thinking something's higher than what they've already got, but they already had the highest thing, pretty much. So Krishna took them to Goloka and Vrindavan, but there they saw the Vedas personified paying
well, yes, yes.
Krishna was starting distant. And by seeing that, they realized that their position on earth, the earthly Goloka Vrindavan, was higher.
Yes. Oh, there is no difference between Goloka and the earthly Vrindavan. So the devotees realize, so there is exactly the replica. But when the devotees saw, so there are three types of darshans they received. So one is the Brahman effulgence, the Brahman Jyoti. The second was Vaikuntha. So he said that when they went to see Krishna in Vaikuntha, they saw that Krishna was being worshipped in awe and reverence, like in the servant mode. And some devotee was saying that when they saw, and then someone wanted to speak, and they said, "This is quiet, and just behave." Just, because when you are worshipping Lord in awe and reverence, that's the sense of controllership. The devotee, the Brajvasis, has gone beyond that sense of controllership. They're not in the greatness of the Lord, they're in the sweetness of the Lord. For them, the sweetness is higher. When they saw Krishna, their little Krishna being, and the Vedas personified singing the hymns, they were not looking at that. They were seeing that this is the same Vrindavan. So they, because the sweetness of the Lord always overpowers their mood. They always establish that this is the best what we are into. They already had. Yeah. Acting like conditioned soul. Yes.
Krishna showed them that actually they already had the highest thing.
Yes.
In,
This is the yoga my ass. Yeah, relationship, no. So Shanta.
I think what you're saying in terms of this understanding that it's relationship and not really location. It's not going somewhere. It's relationship.
Yes. Yes. Relationship is highest, yes, true, yeah. Because they have the, because this Brahma Vadi there in the Shanta Ras, then you got the other four higher mellows, which is Sakyam, Dasyam, and Vasalya and Madhurya. The higher relationship is higher. That's the mood of the Brajvasis. We have some time together. So as Govind Prabhu said, you know, we can just enjoy being in the Sankirtan and we feel the association of devotees as good as for us, you know, that's the so nice. That's the best we can get. The association of devotees is the highest. That gives us the tinge of that, you know, the Krishna sweetness is the devotees association, the sweetness of devotees association. We can get that tinge of sweetness. Association of Govind Prabhu. Thank you very much. Govind Prabhu Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.